KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Well, last night, pot smokers gathered again at the Space Needle for a second evening to toke up in celebration of the legalization of marijuana. Adults may now use, possess, and buy up to an ounce. The state's going to be setting up a system to regulate and tax sales of the drug. How do you think this new approach to drug laws will affect Washington State? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Will it change your behavior? 800-289-5869. Maybe you've still got questions about it. Write to us, conversation@KUOW.org.
Okay, so tell me again about the hash bar.
Okay, what you want to know?
Hash is legal, man, right?
That's legal, but it ain't 100% legal. I mean, you just can't walk into a restaurant, roll the joint, and start puffing away. I mean, they want you to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
And those are hash bars.
Yeah, it breaks down like this, okay? It's legal to buy it. It's legal to own it. And if you're the proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, but that doesn't matter. Cause get a load of this, all right? If you get stopped by a cop in Amsterdam, it's illegal for them to search you. I mean, that's the right that cops in Amsterdam don't have.
Oh, man, I'm going. That's all it is to it.
John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. How does their assessment of the liberal laws in Amsterdam compare to Wamsterdam, as Washington State has been dubbed by some? Joining us, Allison Holcomb, who led the Initiative 502 effort. She's the drug policy director at the ACLU, and maybe you've got some lingering questions about the impact of this law, too. It's 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW. Allison, so how does Jules and Vincent's parsing of drug laws in Amsterdam compare to what we just put into effect here in Washington State?
I'm wondering if we're in Amsterdam or Hamsterdam from The Wire or Wamsterdam. It's all a little bit confusing for people, which I completely understand. The key difference between what we've put into law here in Initiative 502 versus the Amsterdam model is that we're dealing with both sides of the economic equation when it comes to the use of marijuana. Amsterdam's model is basically focused on the harm reduction of separating users from the market for hard drugs. They were very concerned about the level of hard drug use and hoped that by making it possible for individuals to access marijuana in a segregated place, they would reduce IV drug use, for example, and they were very successful with that. But what they did not do was figure out the supply side and create a legal regulated system for making that marijuana available through the cafes. And that is how Initiative 502 differs most significantly, is that we want to address both the use of marijuana and the harms that flow from the prohibition model with respect to the user, as well as the harms that flow from keeping this commodity in the black market. So we're going to bring it out of the black market and bring it under regulation.
Now, an ounce of marijuana is legal for adults to possess, but then there are other marijuana-derived products. There's hashish, there's oils, there's baked goods. What are the rules on possession when it comes to those other products?
Initiative 502 defines three different marijuana products. There's usable marijuana, which is the harvested flowers, the buds that most people smoke or vaporize. Marijuana-infused products. Actually, there's just the definition for marijuana-infused products, but that's any product that contains marijuana, and it can be either in solid form or in liquid form, like your juices and teas. Individuals who are 21 and older can possess up to 16 ounces of marijuana-infused products in solid form, your baked goods, and up to 72 ounces, or a six-pack, if you will, of marijuana in its liquid form.
Now, is hashish a very concentrated form of marijuana included in that solid products definition? How does it come?
You know, I think that's going to be an interesting question. We did not break out hash or hash oil in the definitions, and I think it's going to depend how the Liquor Control Board interprets that product based on how it is derived, essentially. Is it, in fact, something that is marijuana in a liquid? Is it? We know that we use alcohol to extract the resin from marijuana. I think these are some questions that are going to be a little bit stickier to answer, and experience is probably going to guide the way over the coming years.
We've got Ethan on the line in Everett. Ethan, good afternoon. Did you have a question for Allison about how this new law plays out?
Yes, I do. My question is about smoking marijuana in your home in the presence of minors. Of course, it's legal to drink alcohol around minors, but not to give your child a drink. But with marijuana, most people smoke it. If there's kids in the house, they're going to, you know, be exposed. So I would imagine it would be illegal to smoke marijuana with minors in the house. Is that true?
Initiative 502 does not make it illegal for an adult to smoke marijuana in their home any more than we make it illegal for adults to smoke tobacco in a home that has minor children in it. As a practical matter with respect to marijuana smoke, in order to really have an impact, the kind of secondhand impact that some people describe, you really have to be smoking a large amount of marijuana in a very concentrated space to expose other people to the substances in marijuana. But adults and parents need to be guided by the same types of judgment choices that they make with respect to alcohol and tobacco when it comes to their use in a home that contains children.
Ethan, thanks for your call. Maybe you've got some questions about how this law, what this law means and what the implications are. We're at 206-543-5869. Allison Holcomb helped to write that law. Let's go up to Polsbo, where we have Chris on the line. Chris, go right ahead.
Hi, I was wondering how this law affects people that have commercial driver's licenses.
If we do not have any impact on the requirements for commercial driver's licenses or any other employment law aspect. All employment law remains the same. So if you are required to be drug-free and are subject to random testing, be aware that you could face employment consequences as a result of your marijuana use.
Chris, thanks a lot for your call. We're talking today about the impact of the marijuana law, getting some answers from Allison Holcomb. Also, how do you think this is going to affect our state? The laws are not yet in place for the growth and the processing and the sale of marijuana. Will we become a state that attracts marijuana tourists in the future? And how about in your own personal life? How do you think the change in this law will affect it, if at all? 206-543-5869. So, Allison, these folks smoking pot at the Space Needle last couple of nights, technically they're violating the law because, as I understand it, it's like the open container law for alcohol. But at the same time, you see a lot of public drinking of alcohol at tailgate parties and other events. Will the practice of enforcing that law differ from the word of the law? What do you think?
Well, first, you're absolutely right. It is a civil infraction to publicly display marijuana, just as with alcohol. And I think what we'll see is that our law enforcement officers will continue to respond to complaints and to prioritize the use of law enforcement resources in response to concerns that the public express. So they'll exercise some discretion, as they clearly did yesterday.
Allison Holcomb, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Allison was the campaign director for New Approach Washington. They got 502 passed, and she's the drug policy director at the ACLU. So how do you think legalization of marijuana will affect our state? 206-543-5869. Will it affect you? 800-289-5869. Write to us. Conversation at KUOW.org. We asked KUOW listeners this question. Here's some of what we heard.
I have a job that tests for drug use, so I won't be smoking pot, even if it is legal. Just the same as I wouldn't come into work smelling of alcohol. The difference, of course, with alcohol from and in most cases, you can smell it on people if there's a problem with pot. Maybe not so much.
I thought it was quite amusing that more than a half a dozen of my friends, and I'm over 45, have stated that now that pot is legal, they're going to quit smoking because it's no fun anymore.
206-543-5869. How will this change in the law affect you? How do you think it's going to affect our state? Let's go to Mac, who's listening today in Bothell. Mac, good afternoon.
Hello.
How do you think the change in this law is going to affect you or the state?
Well, let me tell you, I'm 42 years old, and I had always been curious on what it felt like. So once the law passed, I said, it's about time. So I even convinced my wife, and I got me about 2 grams, and we did it over the weekend. It was good.
You think you'll do it again?
I think I will do it again, but I'm a grown-up, and I know what I'm doing, so I'll just wait until my wife approves, because she was reluctant the first time. So I want her to approve. She said maybe 5 months, half a year.
You know, I wonder how it's going to affect social gatherings, Mac. You know, this time of year, people come together, and often there'll be alcoholic drinks available to imbibe. It's a common feature of social occasions. I wonder if it'll become part of social occasions. Will it at your house?
No, I would never do it that way. I did it in the privacy of our little restroom, and the kids never notice anything. They don't know, and I'm afraid that you know, youngsters are going to start doing it because now it's legal. And if I had started very young, maybe, I don't know, I would be a pothead now.
So you're still going to keep it a secret from your kids, even if you do it again?
Well, they're too young, you know. They when they're grown ups and they know what they're doing, they're responsible, I suppose it's going to be okay if they decide to try it.
Yep. Hey, Mac, thanks a lot for your phone call. I think that I just thought of that. Like, a lot of parents tell their kids, no, don't do this, even if they do it or did do it. And they say it's because it's illegal. Well, now you can't say that. 206-543-5869. We're probing through the different implications of marijuana being available and free for adults. Of course, not be able to buy yet. It's still illegal to grow it unless you're growing it for medical purposes. But what do you think it's going to mean for our state? What do you think it's going to mean for you? We've got Jason on the line. He's calling us today from Tacoma. Jason, you think this is going to have a bad impact on our state?
Yes. My neighborhood is 72nd and Pacific in Tacoma. And our safe streets officer said that the liquor store there was the busiest in the state of Washington. Our neighborhood deals with people throwing needles across fences into our yards, prostitution, drunks. And we have two medical marijuana stores popped up right on Pacific, one across from the other. And I'm very much afraid that we're not going to have any more enforcement for the illegal behaviors that typically is combined with other vices.
Now, I'm assuming it's not the medical marijuana clients who are throwing needles into your yard. Have you seen any ill effects from those businesses?
Well, prostitution is right on that corner.
You think that's associated with the medical marijuana clinics?
I believe so. I believe that vices and having areas, neighborhoods that have high vice shops, such as alcohol, but now I'm concerned about these marijuana stores. It increases vice behavior.
Jason, thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. So Jason is concerned that other unseemly elements will be part of the legalization of marijuana in our state. Of course, it's a huge business story. Cairo TV was taking a look at Washington State Farms. They talked to the Farm Bureau, who told them none of their members plan to grow marijuana right now because of the still uncertain atmosphere around the federal government. It's still illegal federally, so we don't really know if this is going to go completely into effect. So who's going to grow it? And then King TV's got an interesting story about a former Microsoft manager, Jamin, I guess it's pronounced Shively, who plans to roll out a high-end group of retail pot stores. He says he's going to sell to the Cognac BMW Country Club set. His product, he says, will be Diego Pellisur, the highest quality pot products, named after his grandfather, he says, who grew and sold hemp back in the 1800s. He told King, it's a $100 billion industry in search of a brand. This isn't a startup company. This is a startup industry, end quote. So Washington State's been home to a lot of startups. Is this going to be a new startup industry? The state of Washington expects to license 350 or so retail stores. They'll also be growers. The exact rules for getting those licenses to grow or to process or to sell is among the millions of details that still need to be worked out. Will this become an important industry in Washington State if this proceeds? Let's go to Jeff. He's listening to us today in Bremerton. Jeff, what kind of impact do you think this law will have on our state?
Pretty minor in the scheme of things. The most important thing I think is probably going to happen is what similar to what happened to Alaska. We're talking about late 70s. They used to have a open smoke law, and you could at the time possess up to 3 plants. And the feds went in and said, if you want to keep your federal highway funds, you'll rescind this. Well, highway funds go to everything besides just highways, EMS, you know, civil services, et cetera. So I suspect that's the first thing that's going to happen is the feds aren't going to do anything in a criminal element. They're going to simply try to dissuade us from a monetary standpoint. So, for me, I'm a former drug counselor, in the state and a proponent of marijuana in appropriate use. The big issue is that marijuana is still listed as a Class 1 drug, yet it meets more or less class what they call Schedule 5.
I don't know what that means. What is that? What, I don't know what those things mean. Could you explain that to us in English?
Well, Schedule is the DEA, Department of Drug Enforcement, basically lists certain drugs as for different uses, capabilities, et cetera. A Schedule 1 drug, such as heroin, has no medical use,
right.
has addictive, can lead to the downfall of your personal being, et cetera.
And marijuana is in that same bucket?
Is in that same bucket, when in reality it fits a schedule, what they call Schedule 5, which is like the less, in context, alcohol actually fits more into a Schedule 1 category. Most people and even drug counselors think it's in the schedule of drugs, what's listed as drugs, proper as a drug in the system, as a Schedule 5, when in fact it's not even listed as a drug.
Mm-hmm.
The reason someone previously commented that if you have a company that has a zero tolerance policy or zero drug policy and you get tested, if you go over the weekend and have a 2 or 3 or 4 beers or even a blitz and then come back to work sober Monday morning, go to work and they do a drug test, they find alcohol in your system, no big deal. System meaning that, you know, you're not obviously intoxicated, but you have imbibed obviously over the weekend. You don't get fired. It's not an issue because it's not listed as a drug in the DEA and the federal government. If you have one hit Friday night and come next Wednesday, you're at work and they do a random drug test, oh, we see that you've used marijuana. Well, that's a drug, therefore you're fired.
So it sounds like you think that we need to do a lot more work on the law, particularly at the federal level, to get it right.
A substantial amount. And the issue that they will tell us, and they've actually, one of the members of, key members of the DEA recently made a comment that they're gonna consider fighting this in some level simply for the issue of they're concerned about how the youth, they want to have a safe environment and provide a role model on the basis of the federal government for youth, yet they will do nothing against alcohol.
Yeah.
And we've actually found in the last 20 years that alcohol is the most dangerous drug on the planet.
Jeff, thanks a lot for your phone call. Some good questions about how the federal government is going to proceed. So far, very quiet on that front. The law being enacted yesterday, you thought that might have triggered some kind of federal court action because now it's officially on the books in Washington state. But so far, nothing has really come from the federal government when it comes to this law. If you'd like to weigh in on this, you can go to our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. We're collecting a list of some of your favorite words for marijuana. Is it reefer, weed, ganja, or grass? Wacky tobacky, muggles, or boo? What's your favorite slang term for marijuana? Leave it there for us to take a look at. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.